Welcome to the Revere Radio Network, the worldwide home of free speech. My name is Chris, and this show is called Nowhere to Run. You can go to the website, which is conspiracyclothes.com/nowheretorun. You can find the show in iTunes and revereradio.info and revelationsradionetwork.com. You can email me at chris@conspiracyclothes.com. I got to tell you that I'm pretty excited about what's happening recently. I think that there is we're winning. I think that there is a major battle being fought against obvious lies, second-rate lies, lies that are easily disproven and are of the utmost importance to the New World Order that they are told. And the fact that most of us that even know about the New World Order and all the aspects and various things about it are unable to even believe that it exists is evidence and should be evidence to you that it's working very well. And it's not a matter of opinion. It's not a matter of belief. It's a matter of historical fact that the things that the people that are telling us the most truth about the New World Order are knowingly misinforming you about one particular area. And I'm calling them out. I don't know how to call them out anymore with, like, the Zeitgeist Challenge is, hear me, please hear me, it is exactly Masonic dogma. It didn't exist. I mean, this whole idea of turning Jesus into the multiple sun gods and all the stuff that people go on and rattle on and on about there was done after Jesus existed, not before. By the mystery schools, the very same people that these people claim to fight, have created the illusion that they're now selling to you, and they have sold to you hook, line, and freaking sinker. And I can't implore people to prove that to me enough. I with the Zeitgeist Challenge, I don't know how to do that any better, to offer cash money to anybody that will do it. I've continually double the money if somebody thinks that, oh, well, I can do that. Everybody knows that. I've Googled Horus and Jesus before, and it just shows right up all the similarities. I can do that, and then I promptly double or triple the money for that person who thinks that they can do it, because it can't be done. The records that Horus did, all these things that Alan Watt and Tessarian and Jordan Maxwell are all telling you that he did, cannot be based on fact. I'm not defending a paradigm here. I'm defending historical secular fact. It did not happen, and they can't prove it happened unless they quote people that lived after Jesus that are Masonic initiates of the mystery schools. That's simple. They got to quote Plutarch. They got to quote Gerald Massey. They got to quote, you know, recent authors who just pull stuff out of thin air, knowing Acharyas and well, I guess Dia Murdoch is Acharyas, but they quote them too, hoping I guess nobody will notice that they're the same person. But the list goes on and on. And how in the world can these people like Alan Watt or Tessarian be such great researchers and totally miss this? You know, it's possible because a lot of people that don't really know that they're believing a Masonic lie that was been crafted for them by the mystery schools, they believe it wholeheartedly because people like Alan Watt and Tessarian and Jordan Maxwell have said it, and it's such conclusive fact. It's a psyop. It is a psyop that you don't even believe the operation exists. You don't believe that there could be an operation to discredit Christianity because you believe that it doesn't exist because they told you it didn't exist. You see, they've succeeded in that goal. I'll prove it to you. I'm about to say something that will defeat the New World Order, and you're about to believe that I am crazy when I say it. I'm about to say something true, and you're about to immediately dismiss what I say. And this is evidence to me that you have been psyoped as well. The New World Order and the Illuminati are deathly afraid of true Christians and Christianity, and that they have been shown to be so throughout the entire course of their existence. They, Christians, are the main enemy of this New World Order. See, now you're thinking, look, this guy is so deluded. Doesn't he know that the Vatican is behind the New World Order and is New World Order and Illuminati headquarters? Okay, You know what? I do agree with that. I mean, I haven't been as in-depth of a study as that as some have, but I've had those that have been that in-depth of study on the show, and we've discussed it, and I agree, and I've been through this a million times on the show, that I think that they are probably indeed Illuminati headquarters, and that you are being psyoped right now to believe that all the evil that they've done is, in fact, in the name of Christianity. When I'm telling you and asking you to understand that they did that on purpose, that when they realized that they were not able to control this Christian movement, and that the people that had this spirit in their lives were able to cast out the demons that they needed to do the powers that they were ruling the world with. Don't believe me on that. Don't believe me that you can cast out a demon out of somebody. Don't believe me that the Nazis were inserting demons into multiples programs to give it power and then shoving it back in there and triggering it. Don't believe me that that's what the Nazis were about with their mind control system. Don't believe that the Nazis are in America and that mind control system is now very prevalent and that some people walking around can be triggered to go shoot up a school, and that the reason the kid can kill 33 people and shoot them 3 times with a 22 in a triangle and his kill rate be 67% or whatever is because that kid had a program with a demon, and that if there was a true Christian in there, they could have stopped that. That is why the New World Order is scared of Christians. You don't have to believe me, but that's what they're really afraid of. Because this is a spiritual war, and you'll hear people tell you that, and the reason that you're believing right now that I have to be crazy is because you're so sure, because Jordan Maxwell said it. Alan Watts said it. They were the ones that told you about history, and you checked it out, and it all checked out. There really is a new world order. There really are these people that are taking over the world, and you've double-checked it, and they were right. But they're all wrong about this Masonic dogma, Osirian cycle, Jesus was Horus, Jesus was Dionysus idea. And that's not my opinion. I am not defending a belief system. I'm defending history. If we don't have history, then we don't have anything to check them on. I mean, that's why Fahrenheit 451 was a book that was saying we have to have quality of information. We have to have time to digest it and time to think about it and the freedom to act on it if it's wrong. It's about information. It's about integrity. It's about the ability not to be lied to by people that claim to be such grand researchers, but yet they're always focusing on one particular idea. It's the commonality between Tessarian and Ike and Watt. And for those of you that have been listening to the recent jive talking that's been going on between Tessarian and the Watt fans and whatnot, well, there's a clip that Watt says that he was offered, in fact, best-selling books and lots of money and everything if he would just go along with the alien agenda. And he insinuates that Tessarian and all these others all run together, that, Jordan Maxwell, and Jordan Maxwell bought over David Icke, and Tessarian and Jordan Maxwell are like a buddy-buddy, father-son kind of team. He does correctly insinuate that they are probably a psyop. And I can tell you this much, if you can look in depth at Tessarian's work and look in depth at what Rosicrucians believe, and you'll find out, hey, wait a second, they're all talking about the same thing. Akhenaten was Moses, and the whole Jehovah business, and this Luciferian apologetics, and this theosophy, and these Aryan ideas, and wait a second, they hate Jews. Wait, you know, this is exactly the same thing. It's not clever. It's not original. It's lockstep with Masonic teachings and dogma. And same thing with that. And we'll get to Sitchin in a minute, because I've got some information on Sitchin that we'll go into in a minute, but it's important because if Sitchin is wrong, then they're all wrong. Then Freeman has to take all his videos off of Google, and Tessarian has to recall his books, and Jordan Maxwell has to apologize publicly because they all based everything that they said off Sitchin's translations, period. Because they're all wrong. If Sitchin is wrong, but that's where Watt comes in. Watt is taking the high road, and he's claiming to be that he was offered that same thing, but he is such an independent renegade that he turned it down because he is really seeking the truth. If that's true, and he's such a great researcher, I am asking him publicly to produce sources for what he claims all the time, and that is that there were multiple sun gods that were here to save humanity. And that should be really, really easy to prove. I mean, he talks about it every single day. So, I mean, he should have some claim somewhere. But see, nobody ever asks him about that. Nobody ever asks him to show documents about that. They might ask him to call in and ask him to see some proof about the eugenics ops or something that he might claim about that. But nobody would ever ask him, hey, you know, I've been looking at Egyptian hieroglyphs, and I've been looking at original sources for, you know, Egyptian texts and writings, and I can't seem to find anywhere where Horus was born on December 25th, or that his birth was accompanied by a star in the east, or that three kings followed to locate and adorn the newborn Savior, and I don't seem to find anywhere in there where it says at the age of 12 he was a prodigal teacher, or at the age of 30 that he was baptized and thus began his ministry, and I haven't yet found it where it says that Horus had 12 disciples. And there's one thing else. I don't see anywhere where he performed miracles, such as healing the sick and walking on water. Yeah, there's a few things. I don't see where he was referred to as God's anointed son or the good shepherd or the lamb. And I don't see anywhere where he was crucified. And he doesn't seem to be buried for 3 days and then thus resurrected. I was just wondering if you might be able to clear that up for me, because you seem to say that all the time, but I haven't found myself anywhere in the text when I tried to check your facts out, and I wondered why you would be manipulating that and singing the same song as the people that you claim to have distanced yourself from. And surely you would agree, Mr. Watt, that I have a reason to be concerned, because in my study of it, it seems that this whole idea that you're talking about, all these many crucified sun gods and the Osirian cycle, is exactly what the Masons created after the birth of Christ in the mystery schools. And that's exactly what they believe and venerate. The Osirian cycle is what they do in the tomb at Skull and Bones. And you're telling us, you're feeding us the same thing that they are feeding their initiates. So surely you would see some problems with that. You would see that I have a valid reason to question your sources, because I have never found a single source pre-Christian to validate what you say. But I found plenty of Masonic doctrine, and I can read Albert Pike all day and find exactly what you say, but yet I don't seem to find anything in the historical record. Please clarify that, sir. I know I'm all fired up today, but bear with me here. I'm going to play a clip from Alan Watt's show, somebody that called in last night. Let me just play this real quick. This is somebody trying to ask Alan Watt about his inconsistencies, and I'll just leave it at that. Here he goes.
You go into a lot of ancient old history about the Bible, because that stuff interests me, and I
want to. Oh, it's in there. You have to get them and read them, because I go through the more esoteric explanations than anyone else. They've all copied it since, but they still get it wrong here and there.
Okay. Well,
I go into that. Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, thanks, Alan, once again for all your information, and hopefully I'll get one of your books here pretty soon.
Sure enough.
All right. Take it easy.
Bye now.
Bye.
Now I've got Jeff from Texas. Are you there, Jeff? Hello.
I have a comment and a question. Mm-hmm. I'm new to your material, and I've been trying to catch up by listening to your archive interviews.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate your efforts to expose the history of the New World Order over the last 1,000 years. But it seems that when it comes to the subject of classical or ancient history,
uh-huh.
Your claims get really outrageous. And I was shocked to hear on your George Norrie Coast to Coast interview that you claim that Jesus never existed and that the 12 tribes...
Well, you see, I'm not going into a biblical discussion or debate with people's beliefs here, okay?
No, I'm talking
number one, You know yourself, there's been many, many people before sun gods who die for the world, the sun does every day. You know the mother is always a virgin. You know all this stuff. I don't have to explain this to you.
No, I'm talking about the primary historical record.
I'm not going to go into what a belief is about. It's a belief system.
That's why it's called a belief system.
It's not fact. It's a belief system.
I understand. This is called
which is based on faith, right? It's faith beliefs based.
Am I cut off here?
No, not yet.
Okay.
But I'm not going to go into a debate about your belief system.
Yeah, can I talk? Can I say something?
Oh, go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, I'm talking about the actual annals of Rome. I'm talking about the writings of Tacitus. I'm talking about people like Lucian of Samosata. I'm talking about Eusebius.
Know that a lot of that stuff was redoctored many centuries later.
No, the annals of
Tacitus. And that's another thing, you see. They doctored them all, too, in the Vatican. We know that.
No, the annals of Tacitus were not doctored by the Vatican. Neither
but the thing is, what you're trying to get at is to justify what you believe in. And that's where religion belongs, is what you want to believe. And there's enough evidence, pro and con, to keep the battle going on forever. That's why it boils down to faith for the individual believer.
You have specific proof that the
annals of Tacitus. Go on to the next one, because it's just going to be an argument. I know it. Yeah. So, hello, who wants...
That guy contacted me. His name is Jeff Cross, and he has been on with Zeph Daniel before, and he contacted me last night, and I'm so glad he did. This guy and I are just right on the same page. He's way, way smarter than I am and a lot of this stuff. He's got a lot more figured out, especially about... Tessarian's other connections, why Tessarian is doing exactly what he's doing in the way that he's doing it. He's got him figured out. I really hope to get this guy introduced. I'm going to play a clip from one of his shows here a little later. But his website is, what's it called? ShortwaveWars.com. He's a shortwave radio host. But anyway, I think that this is very interesting. He had been talking with Alan Watt before this, so Alan knew what this guy's arguments were. Don't let Mr. Watt have. I mean, I'm not saying that he knew that this guy was the same guy that the past few days has been emailing and asking all these questions about it, the problems with his research. But there's a high probability that Mr. Watt is a smart enough man to have figured that out, and that he would not let this guy say any of the things that he was saying. I mean, and then he says that we know that the Vatican was doctored about Tacitus and everything. This guy, he knew that he was going to. This guy knew about that, and we were talking about the Myrna. What does he say here? The Myrntha steel. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, which shows that it can't have been doctored by the Vatican. The fact that it wasn't discovered until 1896, so there's no Vatican excuses there. There is, this guy had definitely been contacting him. Now, this guy also knows about the Osirian cycle and stuff, and I want to try to point this out. If you've been following all this business with Tessarian and stuff, you can no doubt see that something is happening. People are starting to wake up to this idea. Sitchin is starting to crumble, and if Sitchin crumbles, which is what I am hoping to really get that fire roaring a little bit, then everybody crumbles. So does Tessarian, and so does Jordan Maxwell, and so does Freeman. They all don't have a leg to stand on if Sitchin is proven to be a fraud. Let me just say that right out. They have to literally start over and be like, oh, wow, I can't believe we were wrong all this time. Wow, sorry about all those books and all that information I was disseminating. Man, I bet that really helped the New World Order get towards its New World religion that it seems to be very, very intent on. Whoops, my bad. Sorry, I didn't really help the truth movement much. I mean, that's the kind of thing that has to happen if Sitchin is wrong. But let's get off the subject here. Jeff Cross is a really interesting guy, and him and people like him, I encourage you. This is what I think is happening. I really think that prayers are being answered to start to expose these people for who they are. I am asking you, all the listeners who understand what I'm saying, I'm asking you to do two things. One, begin to pray as I will begin to pray just fervently every day, and I have been for the past few weeks, even maybe few months. just fervently praying for God to begin to expose these easy, provable lies that are being told to people that are deceiving, that are being deceived. Just kids are waking up to the truth about this New World Order and being sucked into this ridiculously propagated, well-funded lie system about one guy, about one religion. And I ask you to pray fervently for the exposure of these lies. Ask for God to begin to shine a light on these individuals and this concept, and for it to begin to be known, to be commonplace, to be exposed. And do it every night. Attack it every night. Ask God fervently to begin to work to expose these lies about Him. For the glory, for His glory. And I see things like this. Just Jeff Cross, who is a very interesting guy, is going to stay on Alan Watt, I know, and I'm on his on it too. I mean, I really want you guys. You know how Sean Hannity is getting attacked every day on the phone lines about Ron Paul? Well, let's do the same thing to these people. Let's not lay off the Tsarians. Let's not lay off Alan Watt until we get them on the record saying we have no proof for the things that we've been telling you about Jesus Christ. We were right about everything, but we all simultaneously sing the same playbook about Jesus Christ. We're sorry about that. Wish we hadn't lied to you so much, so often, so much so that nobody would even believe that there is an agenda behind it. Because we would never, ever believe that Christianity is the truth now. There's no possible room for that in the New World Order. Do you think it's an accident that the schools teach us evolution and that the college levels are disseminating the same propaganda? And is that what you want us to believe, that the New World Order lost its battle in controlling the public schools and now only truth, the true Darwinism of evolution, is getting preached in schools, which discredits Christianity as its main thrust that is not backed up by anything? Do you think that the New World Order didn't have anything to do with that? That's just truth. Or do you think that the Rockefellers funding the War of the Worlds broadcast, do you think that that was because they want everybody to be Christians? I mean, do you have to double think? How much do you have to double think to think that the New World Order is spreading Christian values? And that the New World Order somehow wants you to be Christian, although there is no evidence to suggest that they are trying to teach you that value. There's no evidence that they're trying to... You know, the Vatican made it illegal to read the Bible, for crying out loud. How does that suggest that it was a control mechanism that they thought was a real good control mechanism? And then they would kill people for reading it. Does that make sense to you? The Vatican is anti-Christian and always has been. But you believe the Vatican when they tell you that they are Christianity. You believe them when they kill Christians. You believe for not believing pagan ideas, for not worshiping ISIS, for not worshiping idols. They kill Christians. Why would we believe that the Vatican has a Christian agenda? You want to know what I really think? I think that the evidence that Jeff Cross was talking about in that radio show is despite the Vatican. I think if you went and looked at the Vatican, you would find that the reason that they were outlawing the writing about Christ was because they didn't want there to be any historical record of him. They wanted to wipe his memory off the face of the planet. I contend that the amazing evidence that we do have is despite the amazing efforts of the Satanist Illuminati Vatican to wipe the memory off the face of the earth. I suggest that if you went into the Vatican vaults, you would find proof of Christianity. You would find that all these early historians were forbidden by the Vatican, by Rome, who is the Vatican. You gotta imagine with me for a second the possibility that Constantine really didn't have an idol in the sky experience that said, oh, I saw a cross that the Bible forbids us worshiping in the sky, and I became a Christian. I don't know how that happened. Hey, guess what, Rome? We're going to be Christian. What about the possibility that that was a bunch of crap? That he was just doing that in order to usurp and take over a religion that they had been trying to wipe off the map for 300 years before that. What's the possibility that that was a takeover as opposed to a real experience? Is that what Alan Watt wants us to believe? That Constantine had a saw a cross in the sky and had a change of heart and changed Rome into the Vatican, and then decided that Christianity wasn't really what the Bible said, but it was what Rome believed. And it was a pantheon of gods, and that we had to do all kinds of rituals in order to be Christian. Is that what you guys are telling me? And don't believe this idea that there's no evidence to prove he existed. That, too, is a lie. Go to thedivineevidence.com. It's a very amazing researcher. You can find this anywhere, but I like her website at The Divine Evidence because she has done it so well. It's all on one page there and really lays out from not using the Bible to prove the Bible in any way, very careful to use non-biblical sources, and very careful to interject all the skeptical arguments made by everybody about every single thing. This is about as unbiased as you can get, a scholarly study of, is there history to prove that Jesus exists? Are the people that saying that there is no evidence, are they simply overlooking this? So listen, I want you guys to consider joining this this revolution against lies. I want you to get fired up about taking back the truth and putting the truth back in the truth movement, and to call out these people for what they are, because what good is the truth movement if we're being lied to? I mean, you don't have to believe my religion, but you should care about history, because it's the only way that we can check whether or not we're being herded into somebody else's agenda. History is crucial here. Integrity of information is paramount. If we're being lied to about anything, we need to question why. Don't think for a minute that they understand that the truth is coming out. We're all going to find out about their agenda and their documents, and all that stuff is coming out. They might as well offer you the very best premium information in order to herd you into them, to listen to me. Listen to me. Look at all this information I have, because I just want you to really believe one lie. I'll tell you everything you want to know, as long as you just don't question me about this one guy. And you just believe me about this, and I'll tell you everything. I'll admit it. I'll admit all of it. But I do have one lie to sell to you. But anyway, listen, I want us to join in this fight. I want this to be something that we do. Find a way. Get creative. How are we going to expose these people as liars? Find new ways. I want people to go out there and listen to Tessarian's many mistakes. You can just pick one of his talks and just sit there with a notebook and write down things that you don't think are true, and then go look them up. It's that easy. I did it with two of his presentations and had more material than I could fit in 2 hours. But if you really want to know what, you know, Tessarian teaches, you can find out. Just go to your local Rosicrucian order and sign up, and you'll probably get some stuff in the mail all about Moses being Akhenaten, and you'll find out that Jehovah was the mean God, and that Lucifer was actually a pretty good guy, and that he was offering knowledge, and you'll find out about all that stuff. So you can just bypass Tessarian altogether and go straight to the source if you want. They'll tell you all about Atlantis and the new Atlantis. And I mean, you could go to Freeman, but you might as well go to them, because they're telling you the same thing. And Atlantis is just going to be so awesome. I can't wait for the new Atlantis. Can you guys wait for that? And as far as what his Achilles heel is, this whole zeitgeist thing, the thing that he keeps continually beating it in your head, that Jesus was just like a myriad of sun gods who died for the world. He says it like it's just the oldest news, and he doesn't need to source that. I mean, that's obvious. Everybody knows that. There's no need for sources. Listen, he doesn't have sources. There is no primary sources for that claim, not just about Horus, but about all of it. And go offer him the Zeitgeist Challenge. Tell him I'll give him $500. I know that's probably not much to him. I'm sure he makes a lot more than that selling herbal remedies and Berkey water filters now. But I bet he could pay for something with $500. Tell him I'll give him $500 to take the Zeitgeist Challenge. He should be able to do that freehand, right? I mean, he should be able to write down the references. It's got to be the easiest thing in the world for a researcher of his prowess. So let's start hearing it. If anybody wants to take the Zeitgeist Challenge, go to my website, conspiracyclothes.com/nowheretorun, and go to the apologetics section. You'll find there, take the Zeitgeist Challenge. Just show us what you're talking about. Because right now you're asking me to join your belief system. because I can't find anywhere in existence that the things that you say in Zeitgeist existed. You know, much like the claims that you're telling me that I have some, a belief system based on nothing at all, where I'm begging people to listen to the fact that I am proving it. And you're telling me that I should believe something that nobody can prove. Now, what's the difference there? And how come it is lockstep with Masonic dogma, the stuff that you claim to fight? We're losing a battle of truth. We're losing the battle, but we're starting now to understand that it's possible that they're lying about this. And I ask everybody to join in this fight, to begin to demand answers. This is not about entertainment. What kind of truth show do I like better than the other one? This isn't about ratings. This isn't about anything. This is about truth. What is it? How can we determine what is and what isn't? Why do we even want truth in the first place? What's the benefit of not being lied to? Should we hold people accountable that are claiming things of this nature that have such drastic implications? Join me in this fight. If you don't want to join by calling people up and writing emails, and you don't want to join by starting a podcast, go to Podomatic.com. Podomatic.com makes it so easy to just start speaking and find out the button on there where it says iTunes, and you'll just automatically be on iTunes. It's the easiest thing in the world. Download Audacity is a good free program. And there you go. You're podcasting. Maybe Frank Lordy will sign you up over there at RevelationsRadioNetwork.com. If you don't want to do that, then just pray. Pray that God begins to shine a light on the lies. Whatever those lies are, you don't even have to be specific or know which lies it are. It is. Just for God to begin to expose liars. Those that lie about Him, about anything.
Can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later gotta cut you down, sooner or later gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell them that God's gonna cut them down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels sweep. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later gotta cut you down, sooner or later gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man, but as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later gotta cut you down, sooner or later gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Thank you.
Russ Dizdar explains his ministry, Shatter the Darkness.
Almost 20 years now, we've been just kind of just trying to help people, minister to people, share with people coming out of cults, you know, just mind control, the occult, left-hand path stuff. And then we ran into the real underground that's been going on for a long time. And so it has a lot to do with deliverance and dealing with the dark side and power encounters and, you know, it has confronting perpetrators of violence on children and ritual abuse. It deals with healing the hearts of the victims and, you know, keeping our guard and trying to do what we can to expose it, stop some of it.
You can visit Russ Dizdar's website at shatterthedarkness.net, where you'll find hours of free MP3s and podcasts, as well as courses for your church or your ministry to begin to learn how to deal with encounters of this nature in a biblical way. Shatterthedarkness.net.
Okay, I want to talk a little bit about something about Sitchin's work. The past few weeks I've been working on a project that is going to basically dumb down what is being said at SitchinIsWrong.com. And that's a lot of the research that I was doing in regards to that the past few weeks. It's been keeping me pretty busy just trying to figure out how to best present the information. And I also did information that it doesn't talk about there. I started researching about the archaeological claims that Sitchin makes. Sitchin offers a lot of claims to support his translations. Let me back up a little bit. In SitchinIsWrong.com, Dr. Michael Heiser goes through meticulously and exposes Sitchin as... the only logical explanation is that Sitchin probably doesn't even know any of the languages, the ancient languages he claims he does, and to make the mistakes that he does. They are the kind of mistakes that you would make if you knew nothing about grammar and just easily disproved stuff. Or they're the kind of mistakes that you make when you're trying to fit your agenda and force it on the text themselves. Sitchin's whole argument is based on the fact that he is the greatest translator of ancient texts ever, and that there's such a very small number of people in the entire world that have the prowess to do what he does. That's why Dr. Michael Heiser is an interesting guy to be debunking him, because he is what Sitchin only claims to be. That is, Sitchin has never produced any credentials to the fact that he is anything that he says he is. But anyway, so what I'm trying to get to here is that I was looking at his archaeological evidence. He offers a few things. Two of them that I was looking at was concerning his depiction of rockets in ancient Egyptian and other cultures. There are two of them that are the main ones, and I kept looking at these while I was doing research, and I'm like, if this is real, he's got a hand-drawn image here that he says is a copy of a mural in the Temple of Hoi in Nubia. And this drawing is, it looks like a multi-stage rocket with a command module and a space capsule, and two guys are pulling hoses and levers in the bottom of it, and there's this two things on the side of it that are, you know, that are keeping the heat transfer away. I mean, if this is a real mural, then, you know, we've got some serious splaining to do. And I'll tell you, this is close to my heart, because it was back in 1999, 2000 that I read Sitchin's book for the first time and started on a big synchronistic journey into all this deception. That's what I find funny, too, about Alan Watt, who just got done in that clip I played, told another... Or it was early in that show that he told another caller about how when you start to seek the truth, that's when all these synchronicities will start happening. And I'll tell you, that's exactly what happened to me. I mean, when I found this book, The Stairway to Heaven, that's when it just really started clicking. I mean, I was having things happen that just cannot be explained any other way. I was being led to everything. All started coming together, and I found David Icke's book, and that just kept leading me further down, and then it just kept on snowballing, and these things that happened, I mean, I was literally being drugged into situations, and it was this picture that essentially got that synchronistic ball rolling. And so my question is, now that I've found that it's complete lies, how does that jive with the synchronicities? What, did I not really experience those synchronicities, or and it was just I just got lucky, or is it possible that maybe I was led down a journey of complete falseness in order to get to the truth, or is it that there is synchronicities and that they want me to believe a lie? And is it possible that if there is a spiritual world, which Mr. Watt insinuates exists, and you know, by synchronicities even happening, I would imagine that there's some kind of spiritual connotation in his meaning and his explanation for that. Well, is it possible that that spiritual world is bound to tell the truth all the time? And how would we know if they could lie or not? Is that something we should ask ourselves? But anyway, moving on. So this picture is very interesting. If it's true, it is very, very different than what we've been told about ancient history. This is what Mr. Sitchin has to say about this. He says, "An even more startling depiction has been found at the tomb of Hoi, who was a viceroy in Nubia and in the Sinai Peninsula during the reign of the renowned pharaoh Tutankhamun. Decorated with scenes of people, places, and objects from the two domains of which he was viceroy, his tomb preserves to this very day a depiction in vivid colors of a rocket ship. Its shaft is contained in an underground silo. Its upper stage with the command module is above ground. The shaft is subdivided like a multi-staged rocket. Inside its lower part, two persons attend to hoses and levers. There is a row of circular dials above them. The silo cutaway shows that it is surrounded by tubular cells for heat exchange or some other energy-related function. Above ground, the hemispherical base of the upper stage is clearly depicted in the color painting as scorched, as though from re-entry into the Earth's atmosphere. The command module, large enough to hold three or four persons, it's conical in shape, and there are vertical peepholes all around the bottom. The cabin is surrounded by worshippers in a landscape of date palm trees and giraffes. The underground chamber is decorated with leopard skins, and this provides a direct link with certain phases in the pharaoh's journey to immortality. The leopard skin was the distinctive garb symbolically worn by the Shem priest as he performed the opening of the mouth ceremony. It was a distinctive garb symbolically worn by the gods who towed the pharaoh through the secret path of the hidden places of the Duat, a symbolism repeated to stress the affinity between the pharaoh's journey and the rocket ship in the underground silo." Okay, well, that's pretty clear that we seem to have on our hands a very vivid depiction of a rocket ship, so much so that you can start calling something a command module in it. Well, obviously, it is dubious to me that it's a hand-drawn image. It gets way more dubious when you start to look at the Temple of Hoi murals in Nubia, which are readily available online, and you start to notice that those are really well-preserved pictures. Murals. They are very clearly depicting events in pretty humdrum late Egyptian things and cows and, you know, just standard, nothing spectacular kind of murals. This picture would be well out of place in the Temple of Hoi, not just stylistically, but content-wise. But, you know, again, I'm not suggesting that I have seen every mural in the Temple of Hoi, and I'm in the process of doing that, and I hope to have that confirmation really soon. I find it amazing that 20 years has now passed, and there is not one picture of this amazing, amazing hand-drawn image by Zachariah Sitchin. It's too good. If you see this picture, it's like, it's way too good. It's like, wait a second. I mean, that not only is what's funny to me about it, is that it's what I would think if I was doing this in 1984, and I was trying to, and with what I thought about technology and stuff, this is like, I could see this being like, you know, some kind of, you can see the tinge of like 50s sci-fi ideas of technology in this. Hoses and levers for crying out loud. I mean, that's just what in the 50s we thought about. Now we wouldn't think about hoses and levers, but apparently the Egyptians did. But anyway, so what the interesting part was, while I was looking for this picture, any kind of confirmation that this existed in any way, what I was anticipating was I was going to find something that find it and find, you know, I really wanted to see, like, how close was it? Is it a possibility that he was, you know, some artistic license there? And I couldn't find anything. I had literally almost given up when I got, I would say I had gotten lucky if it hadn't been for, as I was saying earlier, these fervent prayers to be able to expose this. And I just got really lucky. And the reason I got lucky is I found a website that had, on the caption, had produced a picture of a Temple of Hoi, and it mentioned something about the Temple of Hoi, but it also had mentioned this picture above it from a nearby temple, and it was about 100 years older. It was also in Nubia, same basic style, and it was from the Temple of... what is the name of this temple? It is the Temple of Rekhmeyer. That's R-E-K-H-I... No, excuse me. R-E-K-H-M-I-R-E, Rekhmeyer. Well, this is... Let me read the caption of this picture. It says... Detail of a wall painting from the tomb of a high Egyptian official showing an Egyptian scribe recording deliveries of Nubian products shortly after Egyptian conquest of Nubia. Visible are ebony logs, ivory tusks, baskets of ostrich eggs, gold ingots, ostrich feathers, leopard skins, resins, pteramid nuts, aromatic herbs, and even a green monkey. And it's from the reign of King Thutmose III, about 1479 to 1425. 5 BC. And I looked at this and I knew that this is what Sitchin had based that drawing on, and this is what proved that he is a knowing misinformer and that this is all a fraud. Obviously, you can prove that he is so wrong in his translations, he's never to be believed by anybody to be a scholar, or let alone somebody with any good intentions. And here we find that this, if, in fact, it does become clear that there is no such mural in the Temple of Hoi, it can be reasonably assumed, because of the smoking guns all around this picture, that this is what he used. You can see in this, there are two levels. Like he said, there's a underground, it was a cutaway section where you can see the underground silo, and then you can see the command module above ground. Well, you'll see in this picture, there is a shelf that makes an upper and a lower thing. And on the top shelf is his triangular command module, except it's not. What it is a triangular table and a green monkey sitting on top of it, which forms a triangle. And you'll see underground why he kind of just out of nowhere brought leopard skins, were decorating the lower half, because there's a stack of leopard skins on the lower shelf, one that the scribe is taking note of. You'll see the what Sitchin said was these, what did he say about him? It's just so crazy now that you see what he's basing it off of. He says, there is a row of circular, the silo cutaway shows that it is surrounded by tubular cells for heat exchange or some other energy-related function. And you'll notice that there are these circular gold things in baskets on the lower level and on other places that are gold ingots. Apparently, it's probably the way that they distributed gold in these circular tubes. But it's very clearly what he's basing that on. And we find that also in the same temple at Rekhmeyer. Now, at the top, he has these drafts and stuff that's not in this picture. But if you go to the Temple of Rekhmeyer, which is, I've never gone there, but looking at, actually, Nova even does a virtual tour of the thing, you can see that the walls are just covered with hieroglyphs or actually these artistic depictions of life in Nubia. And we have here the giraffes and the worshippers that he was talking about. There's so much to choose from in the Temple of Rekhmeyer that you can get lost in there really quick, it looks like. I have no doubt that this is what has happened, and I think that this is cause to... Now, you might be thinking, well, you know, maybe you can't just see all the murals and the world on the internet. I mean, there's bound to be stuff that's not on the internet. Well, of course that's true. But I'll tell you this, there are places where you can be a member that has archived all this information. There is a way to sit here and say, I am now looking at every possible mural or hieroglyph that's in the Tomb of Hoi, period. I am now looking at every piece, every picture, and I've had this guaranteed to me that this is everything that's in the Tomb of Hoi. And then you could say, there is no such mural. You can prove that it's not there. You can't prove necessarily that this picture that I have is what he based it on. But if there is no picture of it in the Tomb of Hoy, then I think people can start to draw these conclusions by themselves just by looking at this picture. But it doesn't stop there. It continues on with this, what do they call this thing? I don't know what they call it. It says, Sitchin found this thing. Let's just read what it says about it here. It says, this is a replica of an ancient single-seat rocket ship. This is what it looks like to Zachariah Sitchin, the leading authority and scholar of ancient astronaut theory, hidden away at the Istanbul Archaeological Museum in Turkey for a quarter century. Sitchin recently convinced the museum that this artifact may indeed be ancient and not a modern forgery that they concluded it must be, simply because the current view of our ancient history doesn't include rocket ships. So the museum had determined that it was a forgery, but Sitchin came in there and convinced him that it wasn't a forgery. And now I'm just saying they believed it was. We'll find out later why they thought it was a forgery. I'll just leave that there. It says, in his article, Atlantis Rising Magazine, issue 15, Sitchin describes the object as this, a sculpted scale model of what to modern eyes looks like a cone-nosed rocket ship, powered by a cluster of four exhaust engines in the back surrounding a larger exhaust engine. The rocket ship has room for a sole pilot, actually shown and included in the sculpture. He describes the pilot as sitting with legs folded towards his chest and wearing a one-piece ribbed pressure suit, which becomes boots at the feet and gloves at the hands, and points out that since the pilot's head is missing, we cannot know whether the pilot wore a helmet or goggles or other headgear, which my editor's commentary is that's a really good thing for them. I think if anybody was forging it, they would benefit by not having to make a helmet. It makes it more credible. The artifact measured 23 centimeters long, 9.5 centimeters high, 8 centimeters wide, 5.7 inches long, 3.8 inches high, and 3.5 inches wide. Sitchin spent years tracking down the artifact until he located it at the Archaeological Museum in Istanbul. It was excavated at Toprakkal, a city known in ancient times as Tuspa, where the kingdom of Urotu reigned briefly over 2,500 years ago. The museum's curator decided the small artifact must be a forgery because it differs from the era's style, and more importantly, it looks like a space capsule. They reasoned that since there was no space capsules in ancient time, it must be a modern fake, a practical joke made out of plaster of Paris and marble powder. Okay, that's interesting right there. We got museum curators saying that they believe it's made out of plaster of Paris and marble powder. I mean, nobody has had this thing on display. Nobody was ever able to see it because they put it back in the thing, and the official record was that nobody ever knew about it in the archaeological museum in Istanbul. And here, this same website is the only place that has now said that it is now not. It is available to the public, I guess, in recent years. But up for the whole 30 years, nobody was able to ever hold this thing in their hands and determine whether or not it is plaster of Paris. We would just have to believe Sitchin's explanation that it was what he says in the following. He says, however, during Sitchin's visit to Istanbul and the museum in September 1997, he met with the director, Dr. Paul Pasinli, P-A-S-I-N-L-I, Pasinli, who took the artifact from a drawer and allowed Sitchin to examine and photograph it. It looked to Sitchin to be a carved from porous volcanic ash stone. The details very precise. Dr. Pasinli asked Sitchin what he thought. It is not out of context, Sitchin told the director and his colleagues, when you view the various artifacts that also seem to represent an ancient space-faring civilization. And in Sitchin's The Lost Realms, you'll find illustrations of the artifact that may represent a bearded spaceman in a rocket ship from Mexico and from Lebanon, which might be a rocket ship on the landing platform. And what I find absolutely hilarious about Sitchin's drawing here is that he has drawn a glass Jetsons dome over this thing, which I'm just really intrigued about how he thought that the ancients were going to represent a glass dome in stone. You know, how is that even possible? But he's got a little line here that draw over the little guy's head, and notice So here's the museum curator saying this thing's made out of plaster, but Sitchin stomps in there and says, "No, no, it's the real deal. I'll see you guys later. Put it back in the drawer." And then so now it says the curators finally put the object on public display. Please be sure to have a look for yourself next time you're in Istanbul. Well, there you go. I mean, the only problem is that there is no record of this thing in any kind of archaeological sense online. Nobody knows anything about it. If you type in the few keywords that you can find in this little article here, you're only going to come up with this exact... This is the most detailed report on this. I'm reading this for a reason. Everything else is usually based off one dude's blog, giving a smaller... account of this. You can, some foreign search engines seem to have a little bit more on it, some foreign UFO stuff. There's one that I think is a real smoking gun, but I can't get it to translate from, I can't find a good Turkish translation website. But I did find this out about this Pasolini character, or whatever his name is, that I think is really interesting. It says this about him in the Turkish press. Okay, this is referring, this guy Pasolini is the supposedly the director of this museum in Turkey. And this is Constantinople, you know, and there's a lot of they apparently made a huge discovery, some underground church or something like that. This is what it says about Pasolini. Pasolini is on the Preservations Commission, which is charged with granting building permits for projects in areas of archaeological interest. Blah 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 blah. Pasolini, who is powerful political and business and union backers, has ensured the passage of the permit application of the commission. One such application was blah, 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 blah. The site's future is uncertain. Pasolini is no longer speaking to reporters after the Turkish press alleged that he was connected with artifact smuggling and that the palace discovery was a scam involving the hotel. They wanted to cash in on the find by converting part of the uncovered palace remains into a tourist bazaar. None of these allegations is proven, but Pasolini is under investigation by the Ministry of Culture. Okay, and then we have these conflicting reports of how this thing was found. It's said that in one report that it was found by border guards, who it's illegal to bring this stuff out of the country, so it was confiscated there. One of the accounts says it was an antique dealer brought it to the museum, who thought it was a fake, and so he wanted to get rid of it when he found out it was a fake. And I don't know. All I can say is that nobody's ever looked at it. There is no record of anybody in the world looking at this thing that I can find, again, on the internet, but prove me wrong. Let's have somebody just knock on this thing with a hammer and be like, yep, volcanic stone, or nope, plaster of Paris. I'll tell you what, this thing is way too good looking. And it's, again, part of that 50s... sci-fi thing. It's got the NASA 3-stage rocket engines on the back. You know, nobody ever thinking, hey, these ancient astronauts were using combustion engines. That's pretty weird. They have the exact same design as NASA back in 83. That's really crazy that that this is such a nice little thing, and the head is, you know, okay, conveniently taken off. But I'll say this, one website said that proof that it wasn't plaster was because the head had been taken off and that the space underneath the head was colored the same way as the rest of it, which I contend they never wanted the head on there first. I mean, you don't want a space helmet, then people are being like real suspicious, like, dude, that's like a old-timey looking, real sci-fi looking space helmet that just is not credible. But if it's broken off and then painted, you know, with the intention of breaking it off, so for twofold, you know, you don't have to be that detailed, and you can leave them guessing, and you can make it credible. And so, of course, it would be painted over at that point. But anyway, you know, that's not that strong of an argument. But it certainly is enough to have somebody, anybody in the world take a look at this thing. Just anybody confirm it. I mean, especially what we know about that he was just lying about the translations, that the very basis of his theories are based on absolutely provable lies. So we have every reason in the world to suspect him on this stuff too, especially because it's way too good to be true. And again, anybody that's listening to this, I think something far weirder than what Sitchin thinks about ancient history happened. I mean, I think that Sitchin is covering up something even weirder that happened. I'm not saying it's all naturalistic explanation for the Nephilim and all the ancient weirdness that happened. But It ain't that. And there's a good reason why he's misinforming you in this particular way. I'll provide links to all this stuff that I've been talking about all day. I'll just go to my website, conspiracyclothes.com/nowheretorun, or the Podomatic site, nowheretorun.podomatic.com, or, you know, whatever. So, okay, that's right about an hour. I'm going to go take a break. No, I'm going to go ahead and end the show, and it's right on an hour, so it's perfect. So thanks to everybody. You can please continue to pray that God will shine a light on this, on these lies, and to start exposing the liars and showing them for what they are. Pray fervently for it every day. My name is Chris. You can email me at chris@conspiracyclothes.com. Power to the people, and all glory be to God. Later.